We are looking at Mark chapter 8 this evening. So if you want to follow along there, that's where we're going to be heading from. Mark chapter 8. I feel like, just like when we went to the nursing home, in our reading that we were doing, it seemed like every time we came to a book, the lady, and I can't think of her name now, Cheryl, asked me, why do you say it's your favorite book? It's what I'm reading. And that's chapter 8 is my favorite chapter. I think there's a lot of thought here, a lot of messages for us. During those days, another large crowd gathered, verse 1. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples together and said, I have compassion for these people, and they have already been with me for 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way, because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? Jesus answered, how many loaves do you have? 7. They replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had given thanks, or when he had taken the loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And they did so. They had a few fish as well. And he gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 people were present, or 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Okay. I slaughtered that one, so you can correct it when you do your study. Question is, we've already looked in the last chapter at the feeding of the 5,000 men. Now we're looking at Jesus feeding 4,000 men. And how many ever women and children were in the groups? My question is, what's the difference? I mean, besides the numbers, what's the difference between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000?
The feeding of the 4,000, the people had followed him for 3 days.
Oh, yeah. That's a very big, important difference, is because they had whatever provisions they had, they must have used them up after following Jesus for 3 days. That's quite a thing. That shows quite a bit of devotion among these 4,000. Somebody else have another difference between the 5 and the 4?
Well, that's 1,000 difference. So.
Well, I mean, besides the numbers.
Well, you know, it would seem to me that his disciples would know what he was going to do. They asked the same question as they did the first time. So it kind of makes me wonder, why didn't they know what he could do?
They were kind of slow learners, weren't they? Is there anybody else that's a slow learner? Have to follow that same lesson 2 or 3 times? Well, I see a couple heads nodding. My hand's being raised. Yeah, that's the similarity. But there are some very important glaring. Daryl, I said glaring. I mean, it is spotlight-worthy differences between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. One of them is definitely because the people had been following Jesus for 3 days. And, Paul, I think you're right. Maybe the disciples, if we compare their responses between the 5 and the 4, maybe they were a little bit less presumptuous. What? We ain't got that kind of cash. Well, that's not what they said this time. They just said, where are we going to find the food? Well, maybe a little bit less presumptuous. But I think that there's something else.
It was their food rather than the food of the small boy that was there that they... they decided to use, it seems. I don't know who had the fish, but they had a few fish, I guess, too, so.
You're thinking it's the disciples' food?
Well, it says, how many loaves do you have?
Yeah, Jesus
asked.
How
many loaves do you have?
Jesus did ask that question, so perhaps so. Rita, you've got a comment?
Is it if he didn't feed them, they would die?
I think that's probably consistent in both cases. Yeah. Who were the 5,000? Do we know their makeup? Were they Egyptians? Were they Philistines? Who were the 5,000? The 5,000 were not Gentiles. That's a good guess. If they weren't Gentiles, what were they?
Jews.
Well, why did I ask such a silly question then? Who were the 4,000? Where's Jesus? Let's look at that passage again. Mark chapter 8. I better go back to chapter 7. And see what, where was Jesus at?
Well.
Deserted area. Go ahead, Paul.
He had just departed from Tyre and Sidon, and he was on the coast of the Decapolis. And I'm not sure just where exactly that's at, but
I think that we can safely say, and I'll give you a reason why I'm going to say that in a minute, we can safely say these 4,000 were Gentiles. And you say, Jack, well, it didn't say that they were Gentiles. It does. It does. When you look at the term of the remnant, of what was left over in the feeding of the 5,000, what was picked up? 12 baskets full? The word that is used for baskets does not come clear in most of our English translations. The word that is used for baskets is what we might translate lunch pail. How much did they have? 12 baskets, 12. What did they put their lunch in? Small little baskets. Little baskets they carried with them. It's a Hebrew term. It is a term that the Jews would understand is what they, well, what the workmen would put their food in. But the word in chapter 8, what is the word there for what remnants were? 7 baskets. That's where our English fails us, or the translators have failed us. Those are two separate words. The second word is surface. It is a large, hamper-like basket that is commonly used by the Gentile peasant. Now, wait a minute. We've got a difference here. We've got the 12 baskets, lunch pails, the small little baskets, left over from the feeding of the 5,000, and we have, what'd you say, 7 baskets left over from the feeding of the 4,000, except, pardon me, except these baskets are the big baskets. Now, you've seen pictures of people throughout that area carrying food to the market. Did they carry them how? On their head or on their shoulders? And did they use a little lunch pail? They used large baskets. There's a difference between the two words. If you want to explore that, the word surface, or S-P-H-U-R-I-S, is found here in chapter 8. In chapter 6, verse 34, chapter 6, verse 43, the word is kaphanos. And it's a smaller basket. It's commonly used what they put their lunch in. That's why I said lunch pail, okay? I believe that there's a good supposition based upon what Mark is using as the words, the distinction between chapter 6 and chapter 8, that this group is more predominantly Gentile. I think that this bears out what Paul then teaches in the book of Romans. What did he say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16? That's a passage that most of us could quote. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, right? For salvation to everyone who believes. What? To the Jew first, and then the Greek. Now, Last week I introduced this thought or this passage by mentioning that Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, then he fed the disciples. If this was today, is that the progression you would have followed? I don't think so. Me, just me alone, this is a Jackism, I would have started with something small, and when I've had success with that, then I would build on to something greater, and then when I've had success with that, then what would I do? I'd graduate up to the big show, right? Jesus started with a big show, feeding of the 5,000 of the Jews. And now, based upon the word he used, the 4,000 predominantly being Gentiles, underscoring Paul's message that the gospel is first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. So much so that he goes on in chapter 10, that's Romans chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, to write, "For there is now no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. And whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Jesus is already breaking the barriers. Yes, he went to the Jew first and to the Greek, or to the Gentile. Paul was following that same pattern, wasn't he? When he went into a city, what did he do first? He went and taught in the synagogues. And when he got driven out of the synagogue, then who did he go to? To the Greeks. To anybody that would listen. So I think that Jesus here is already lying or under putting that foundation in place for the gospel going out into the whole world. And I think that is shown here in this miracle. Let's talk a minute, while we're still on the subject here, the feeding of the 4,000. Let's discuss motive. Sure.
I don't remember, so you'll have to give it to me again. The basket in chapter 6 and the basket in chapter 8 is two different types of baskets. Oh.
Great. Yeah, there's two different words in Greek. Translators that just translated the basket in English did us no favor in that regard. So those are the two words that I gave you. Let's see, what were they again? Surface, that's S-P-H-U-R-I-S, is the hamper style basket that's used here in the chapter 8. And kaphinos, that's K-A-P-H-I-N-O-S, is in chapter 6, verse 43. So, two distinct words. He's not talking about two different colors of baskets. He's talking about two different types of baskets.
Right.
It says, for verse 8, the larger basket was the kind used to let Paul down over the wall of Damascus. So, obviously, there were several kinds. And types.
Well, that even gives more of a meaning to a hamper-style basket, doesn't it? If it's the same basket that Paul was left out of the city, had to be big enough to and built well enough to support his weight. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that in.
When he talks about the Decapolis, that was a group of Roman cities. There were 10 cities. All of them but one was on the east side of the Jordan River. Some of them all the way to the fringe of the Roman Empire. The interesting thing is that the Sacrophoenicia is all the way up on the western coast. So, unless this Sacrophoenician woman was over in one of these 10 cities, which it doesn't really, I don't think, read that way, he traveled a pretty good ways to get over there. It would have taken several days to get over there. And if he went to the far fringes, it's very likely there were nothing but Gentiles over there, because these were Roman cities.
Jews would not have wanted to be there by any stretch of imagination. Thank you. We're talking about motives here, the motive of Jesus as he looked upon the people. The motive we're given to understand is compassion. Said that, I have compassion for these people that have already been with me for these 3 days and they have nothing left to eat, nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry, they will collapse on their way because some of them have come a long distance. Jesus is compassion. I was just kind of reminded that in chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus also had compassion. Chapter 6 and verse 34. But it was for the Jews, but there was a particular reason for his compassion there. In chapter 6 and verse 34, we read that when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. There's another thing, another point that I just want to bring in about the difference between the 5,000 and the 4,000. The 5,000, Jesus taught over how long a period of time? How long of a period of time was Jesus teaching the people of the 5,000? Sam? Paul?
I thought you meant is overall teaching.
No, the events surrounding the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus got out of the boat, saw them, he taught them.
That was like a week, wasn't it?
Nope. 1 day. How long was he with these Gentiles in chapter 8 teaching them?
3 days.
Whoa. 3 days. Why? Why? I mean, the Gentiles weren't, they get it. Why did it take Jesus 3 days to teach them and only a day to teach the Jews?
Wasn't the Jews looking for the Messiah? And the Gentiles were?
I think that's a valid point, a very big point. The Jews were looking for a Messiah. As a matter of fact, weren't there false Messiahs round about? Is there any listed in the Bible? The answer is yes. Yes.
What was the question? What was the question?
Why Jesus taught the Jews only 1 day and the Gentiles 3 days? And one answer is because they were looking for the Messiah. Is there another reason? The Gentiles did not have the history that the Jews did. They didn't have the whole picture of God. They have, what kind of understanding do the Gentiles have of God? Well,
they'd learned by nature and
whatever they learned.
Looking at what the Jews were doing.
Name one of the gods of the Roman Empire. Just one. Zeus. Who was Zeus?
The overall god,
the god in command. What was the Greek equivalent? I'm not sure I can remember my Greek mythology that well. Bad thing, that don't ask questions if you don't have the answer, right? But they had a multiplicity of gods. As a matter of fact, one of the cities that we're going to be talking about, I may not get to tonight, Caesarea Philippi was a Gentile city named after the god Pan. It was destroyed by Rome and rebuilt in honor of Caesar by Philip. And so that's the reason it was named Caesarea Philippi, or sometimes Philippi. Sometimes Philippi, Caesarea. All that sort of thought. I think that we look at Jesus' compassion because the Jews were what? They were sheep without a shepherd. Their shepherds were hirelings. Isn't that what Jesus referred to them as? As just hirelings. Did they care about their flock? Not like the father. So Jesus had compassion for them. Well, let's go on. We've got just a few more minutes. I just want to point out those thoughts about the distinction between the 5 and the 4,000, because there is a big difference between the two. Jesus is not just repeating a miracle, and Mark is not just recording an event over and over and over again. Okay, chapter 8, verse 10. And having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples, and he went to the region the region of Dalmanutha. Verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to question him, and they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. And he left them, he got back into the boat, and crossed the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf, that they had with them in the boat. Now, Jesus is using a lesson here. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. We'll come back to that in a moment. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because of the we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you not see or do you not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, I replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? Let's go back and look at this passage a little bit more carefully. He's talking here about miraculous signs. I asked if there was a false Messiah listed in Scripture. And the answer is yes. In Acts chapter 5, who was it that was imprisoned and told by the council to teach no more in the name of Jesus? Was that Peter and John? I think so. Read Acts chapter 5 for me and correct me if I'm misspeaking. My note, I wrote down at verse 36. Acts chapter 5 and verse 36. Here is the decision that is being rendered upon those two apostles. Acts chapter 5 and verse 36. Go back a little ways to see that verse 34, it's Gamaliel that's going to be speaking. He's a teacher of the law and he's respected by all the people. He stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside for a short time. And then he talked to the whole council. Men of Israel, take care of what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Thutis, who's a false prophet, a false Messiah, Thutis rose up claiming to be somebody. And a group of about 400 men joined up with him. But when he was killed and all who followed him were dispersed, and everything came to nothing. Well, to find out a little bit more about this Thutis, in book 20, chapter 5, section 5, chapter 1, according to Josephus, Thutis promised to divide the Jordan River. Who is he trying to be? Who divides waters? Moses divided the Red Sea. Well, God did, but I mean, and who?
Joshua.
And Joshua. Joshua is the one that parted the Jordan River. And this Thutis, this false Messiah, was claiming that he himself was going to accomplish this feat and prove that he was the Messiah of promise. Gamaliel says, Acts chapter 5, verse 36, wait him out. These guys are false prophets. They're going to come to nothing. But if he is the real Messiah, you don't want the cross. Isn't that what he said in Acts chapter 5? Well, our time's up, but that'll give you something to think about. Just something else to kind of throw to get your mind going a little bit. We want to talk just a short minute or two about the signs of the Messiah. Signs of the Messiah next week. And we'll be looking at Isaiah and I believe Ezekiel, just to kind of pinpoint some of the passages that describe what the Messiah was going to do. Okay, whew. I felt like we talked a lot, and we only got through 10 verses. But I think that there's a big distinction between the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. And I think that sometimes our English text does not do us justice. So I hope that discussion was profitable for you. Anything else we want to bring for the body? Yes, ma'am.
Just out of curiosity. They knew they had bread, and they knew they had fish, and they were hungry because they hadn't eaten for 3 days. Why didn't they initiate the eating?
The disciple? Or the crowd?
I mean, they knew they had food because they told me. They asked.
I think if the way Bill read it, it was the disciples who had the bread, if I understood what Bill was saying. So maybe the people had eaten their supply. But even if you had a bag like Tony's here, full of bread and fish, that's not going to feed this whole crowd here tonight. Much less any 4,000. So maybe that's the reason somebody didn't jump up and say, well, I've got food. I don't know. Good question. Interesting thing to think about. Anything else?
4,000 they had given out for 3 days of food.
Yeah, they would have exhausted their food, whatever they had. So, but somewhere, whether the disciples had this squirreled away or something, there was some bread and some fish.
I never could find where it says it was a young boy that gave him.
For the feeding of the 5,000?
I don't know where it is.
I think it's the 5,000. So you might look in chapter 6. Yeah. If that doesn't answer your question, I'll look it up and give you a verse next week.
What was her question?
Her question was, she didn't notice where it said that a little boy had the food. And I think that's in chapter 6 of Mark. Anything else before we close? If not, let's conclude with a word of prayer.